Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home and the Christian Biblical Church of God, which sponsors it, we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Who is the true Jesus? Who was he? There are so many different theories and theological propositions that even those who consider themselves Christian, they have many different things. But who is the true Jesus? Some say, well, he didn't exist until he was conceived into the womb of the Virgin Mary. Others say, well, his father was really Joseph. Others say, well, how can a woman have a baby and never have relations with a man? But who was Jesus? The true Jesus. The real Jesus. Now remember what we've covered concerning the scriptures. That all scripture is God breathed. Now that's Old Testament and New Testament. And the Gospels are historical documents written by the apostles. And they started writing very early on. Now, let me just give you one example. I don't have time to turn to the scriptures to go in detail in it, but here is the truth. On Jesus' last Passover, the only ones who were there were the 12 apostles, one of them being Judas, and he left to betray Jesus. They were the only ones who knew that Jesus changed the emblems of the Passover from the Old Covenant Passover, which was a roast lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread, changed it to unleavened bread and wine with foot washing. No lamb, no meal. And Jesus said that to take, eat, this is my body, the broken bread. So why is the host of the Catholic Mass whole and not broken? And why does it have an idol on it with a cross? Never what Jesus taught, just as a sidebar, just to give you something to think about. He said when he broke the bread, unleavened bread, because that's what was required for Passover, he finished the Old Testament Passover with the meal, and then he broke the bread and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you and for the remission of the sins of many. Now, he also took the wine, and he gave it to them, and he said, all of you drink of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, symbolic of his blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. Now then, after Jesus was crucified in the grave for 3 days and three nights and was resurrected on the Sabbath and ascended to God the Father's throne on the first day of the week after the Sabbath, and then he appeared to the disciples for 40 days and 40 nights. And just before Pentecost, then they selected the replacement of Judas who fell, who was Matthias. Now, there were 120 disciples there in the upper room. Now, remember, only the 11 kept that first new covenant Passover with Christ. The rest of the 120 did not. Then on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, 3,000 were converted. And before the next Passover would come in the next spring, many thousands were converted and baptized and received the Holy Spirit. So what did the apostle have to immediately write? They had to write the instructions of Jesus himself that he gave to them on his last Passover, on what the New Covenant, New Testament Passover was to be. Foot washing, bread, and wine, no meal. All of those new new believers had to have those instructions because they had to keep the Passover the next year. So the apostles gave themselves to the ministry of the word, which is the writing of it, so that all of these new believers would have the truth. And let's come to Acts, the third chapter, and let's see something important so we can know. What did the apostles know early on about Jesus, who he was, how he came to be here, what he actually was before he became human? Now let's come to Acts, the third chapter, and this is right after, shortly after Pentecost. And here at this particular point, Peter and James were going into the temple, and there was a man lying there who had been there for many years at the gate, Beautiful. And they come up to him, and he was asking for alms. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk." So he stood up and walked, was jumping and happy and joyous. And the temple was filled with many people, and they saw this tremendous miracle. And they all came running together to see what it was. And so Peter preached to them, to let them know. So let's read it, Acts 3 and verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, 'Men and brethren, why are you wondering at this? And why are you looking upon us so intently as if by our own power or godliness we have made him to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate after he had judged to release him.'" Remember that? "Said, 'I find no fault in him.' And Pilate's wife had a dream concerning it, and she sent an urgent note to him before he released him to be crucified. And she said, 'Have nothing to do with this man.' And after finding no guilt in him, he took a pan and he washed his hands, and he said, 'I am innocent of this man's blood,' and turned him over to the soldiers and to the Jews to be crucified. And many of the people who were there were some of the ones who are now at the temple. And they were the ones who were standing there, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' And Pilate said, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, the man Jesus or Barabbas?'" Interesting name, Barabbas. You know what it means? Son of the Father, who was a murderer and a revolter. "And he said, 'Release Barabbas.' 'What should I do with this man?'" "Crucify him, crucify him." Now, Peter used that as a point of his ministry here and a point of preaching to them, because perhaps in that audience he was preaching to, which were probably many thousand gathered at the temple. Notice what he says, verse 14, "But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and requested that a man who was a murderer be granted to you, and you killed the author of life." Now let me read that again, because lots of times we read things and we go right over, and it's like Winston Churchill said of the truth, that the truth is there to know. But men come along and they stumble over it and pick themselves up and dust themselves off and go their way. Lots of times when we read, we do that. Now notice, this is within a month, probably no more than that, maybe less than that, within a week after Pentecost. "And you killed the author of life." What does that tell us? They knew that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh and that he was creator of all life. It wasn't something they invented later on. Don't you think in the 40 days that he was teaching the disciples after his resurrection and appeared to them in glory that he told them exactly who he was? Of course. They knew he was the author of life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And through faith in his name, this man whom you see and know was made strong in his name, and the faith that is through him gave this complete soundness to him in the presence of you all. Quite a thing. They knew from the beginning of their ministry, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and personal instruction for 40 days and 40 nights, that Jesus was the author of life and God manifested in the flesh. It was not a figment of the imagination, a myth concocted by religious leaders to create a religion, but the truth. And Jesus told them, you are the witness of me in Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. And that witness is still going out through their writings. Now let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And this is the one that the Jesus Seminar said, we cannot agree that any word of the Gospel of John and any of the sayings of Jesus have any validity at all. Now, how did they agree on these things? Well, they voted. Kind of like a little kiddies game, these intelligent elite men trying to find the real Jesus never found him because they didn't believe. And never found him because he didn't believe the scriptures, okay? So how did they vote? They had a red marble if they thought it was the authentic words of Jesus. And they would put it in a box, and they'd sit around and do it by majority vote. So much for serious scholarship, right? Okay. Then they had a pink marble, which would be, maybe Jesus said this. And then they had a gray marble, which said, well, very doubtful that Jesus said this. And then they had a black marble. And when they voted on all the sayings of Jesus and the Gospel of John, every single one voted with a black marble. So that's how the intelligentsia and the elite decided their version of Jesus. Now let's see what the Apostle John wrote. This was the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is the one who remained alive until the very end. Let's see what he wrote. Let's begin right here in verse 1, because the first 3 and 4 verses tells us more about Jesus Christ, who he was, and then we will see why he came. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's stop and analyze that just a minute. The Word means the one who brought the message of God, speaking the Word of God. And what did Jesus say? He said, of myself, I can do nothing, but what I see the Father do and what I hear the Father say, this is what I do and this is what I preach. Now continuing, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What does this tell us? That he was with God. The Greek there is pros, with God. Comes from the word face-to-face. The word for face is prosopon. So he is right there with God. Now let's just do a little sidebar of analyzing scriptures correctly. For all of those of you who believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, where is he in this verse? He's not a person, but the power of God. That's why he's not listed here. Now, if that makes you mad and angry, And if you believe what some churches say, that if you don't believe in the Trinity, you are subject to being executed by the religious and civil authorities because you believe in heresy. But the Bible doesn't teach it. Let's go on. And the Word was God. Who was Jesus before he became human? God. This also tells us that in the God family, which the Hebrew word is Elohim, plural for more than one, that there are two revealed in the Bible in the God family, God who became the Father and God who became the Son, the Word of God. Now notice verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Double affirmation. Notice verse 3. Does this not agree with what we read in Acts, the 3rd chapter? All things. Now what are all things? It means everything. Each and everything came into being through him. And not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Jesus Christ was creator. The one spoken of as the Lord God in Genesis 1 was the one who became Jesus Christ. Now we'll find out what the Bible says. How did he do that? Well, we'll find out a little later. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Every single human being and every single thing that has life, who was the author of life, that Peter named as the author of life, just weeks after the receiving of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost? Jesus. Every human being that is conceived and born into the world is the result of the process that God, in the person of the one who became Jesus Christ, set in motion for the creation of man and woman through the process of procreation. Now, you need to go to our series that we have done, Why Were You Born? And the Sonship of God. That'll tell you more about the purpose of why you're here. And let me just ask a question. If you don't know why you're here, and you don't know who God is, and you don't know what is going to happen, you don't know what God has done to create you, and you don't understand the salvation that God offers, what do you know? Now, you may know a lot of scientific facts. You may be a genius as far as human beings are concerned, or you may be uneducated and know hardly anything. But God still created you and gave you life, and that came through what Jesus set in motion, beginning with Adam and Eve. Think about that. Now let's see what it says down here, talking about the one who became Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh. Now we'll talk about how he became flesh, beginning in the next segment. But he did. And God specially created man and woman in his image so that he could do this. Because it says in Revelation 13 that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. So it was predetermined that he, being one of the members of the Godhead of Elohim, would create mankind and then come in the flesh and save mankind before the foundation of the world. Does God have a plan or not? Now, if you don't have the book, Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days, which, and also the book, it's a big, thick book, we'll send it to you, God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. You write for it. You email us. You phone the office. You send us a letter. You need this information so that you can understand the truth and the fullness about the purpose of God and the plan of salvation and what it is that you are going to become when you are resurrected from the dead, or if you happen to be alive at the return of Christ, and he is coming again. In spite of what Funk says, he is returning and coming in power and glory. So if you haven't gone through the series that we have on the prophecies, then you go through it and see how Jesus is going to come. It's not going to be a little twinkle toes in the middle of the night. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Isn't that interesting? And God commands us to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's meaning to it. Part of the meaning is that God himself dwelt with men and was a man. And we ourselves beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten with the Father. No other human being can claim that they have been begotten from the instant of birth by a supernatural impregnation except Jesus Christ. And that also, by the way, means that the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary is a myth. So you see what happens when you really get into the Scriptures and you really begin to understand the truth and you really begin to know what the Bible really says, not what someone teaches you, or not a doctrine of a church, but what God says. Now it says, continuing, full of grace and truth, came to reveal the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. All of that is through the grace of God and truth. See, because being God before he became a man, and you understand that God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That the only thing he would bring is truth. Are you willing to accept the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of the Word of God? Or are you superior, or your so-called Christian church is superior to Jesus Christ, and you have traditions which tell you to do this or do the other, or no, that didn't happen? Or that, as some have said, you don't even need to worry about the things that Jesus taught in the gospel because that was just for the Jews. A lie. Now, what we are going to do in this series is we're going to unravel many lies that have been taught from the pulpit and assumed by people and believed generation after generation that are not true and were lies from the pulpit, misinterpretations of the Word of God, and did not convey who Jesus really was. Now, maybe when the Protestant Reformation first began, there are a lot who believe those things. But now today, as we've been reading with the Jesus Seminar and the things that are going on in the so-called Christian religion, that's not true today. That's why you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And that's why we have church at home, because you're going to hear things from church at home that you can download free in your own home and learn and study of the Word of God. That's where you're going to find God. You're not going to find him in a corner church. You're going to find another Jesus. You're going to find another gospel. You're going to find those things that are not true. Here at Church at Home, Christian Biblical Church of God, we go by the truth of God. We preach the Scriptures. We're not involved in politics. We're not involved in pleasing men. We're not involved in traditions of men, but we are involved in teaching and preaching as God has commanded his true ministers to do, to preach the truth, so that those who are seeking God and Jesus Christ can find them and find mercy and find love and find forgiveness, and find what is the purpose of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? Why did God create me? What is God doing? Well, we'll cover all of those things on Church at Home, and likewise, we have hundreds and hundreds of sermons on cbcg.org. So you go there, download these sermons, listen to them, study them. By all means, get the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. And we have a spot right on our home page that you can click through and be able to find how you can have this Bible for yourself, which is actually the best translation of the Old and New Testament that is available in this form today. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Calder saying, till next time, so long, everyone.